Well, next Sunday is Passion Sunday already, and then Holy Week will follow that. Holy Week is a very personal week. It's a week that brings about a lot of feelings and emotions in some people. Because Holy Week underlines the mystery that our religion is about a personal God, a God of relationship. For example, we come during Holy Week and we gather at Holy Thursday to remember that Jesus gave us his body and blood as food and drink for us. And we will remember that, and we will also take the body of Christ in a reverent procession to the stone chapel, where we will spend the night in adoration, adoring the Lord's body in our midst. And then the next night on Good Friday, we will venerate the cross, a symbol that Jesus gave his life, not just gave his life, but gave his life for us. And then Easter comes when we hear the story about how Mary Magdalene went to the garden, went to the tomb, looking for her lost friend. And then Jesus comes to her and calls her by name. And she clings to him. And then as we go on with Easter, we will hear the story about how Jesus made breakfast for his friends on the lakeshore. And it was a loving heart of one of his friends that recognized him. And during that breakfast, Jesus would exchange very intimate words of love with another one of his friends. So, you see that our religion worships a God who becomes human like us just so we can be his beloved friend. All these are very personal, personal stories. And that is why it is impossible for a person of Christian faith to be detached from the person of Jesus Christ. It is impossible. Now, when we look at the life of Jesus of Nazareth, we can see that it was a life of great power. Some people, when they think about the power, the personal power of Jesus, they may think about the mighty deeds that he performed, like what we heard about last week, when Jesus made a man born blind see, and like what we hear about tonight, when Jesus raised a dead man to life. So we may say, wow, what a life of power that was, a life like no other. He did these mighty deeds. Or we may think about the power in Jesus' life because of the great teacher and orator that he was. Because he, the Word of God, taught with the authority of God himself. And so we may see his greatness, his power in that. But I would say that alongside of those things, and I would suspect that what made even a deeper impact upon the people that encountered Jesus beyond his words and his marvelous works was the power of his love shown in friendship. Do you know, Jesus was not a statue. He was a fully alive man who had many deep, rich and loving friendships with both men and women. And the Gospels have lots of evidence of this, if we look for that. Tonight, the 11th chapter of John that we just heard is full of references to it. It begins when we hear about the very tender and passionate expression of love that Jesus' dear friend, Mary of Bethany, showed him when she anointed him with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. What a passionate, loving relationship they must have had. And then, when Mary's dear brother, Lazarus, is gravely ill, she and her sister Martha send a message to Jesus. What was the message? The man you love is ill. The man you love. And then a couple lines later, John editorializes that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them with a particular love. And then when Jesus goes to Bethany and his dear friend Mary falls at his feet weeping because her brother had died, Jesus is so moved by seeing the tears of his friend Mary and so moved that his friend Lazarus, the man he loved, had died, that Jesus weeps himself, which causes those who stand around, who are standing around, to say, "See how much he loved him." And we have other examples throughout the Gospels. Just a couple, for instance, we read elsewhere in the Gospels about the disciple whom Jesus loved. And on the night before he died, when he was gathered with his closest companions, he says, "No one can have greater love than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." Now, we have to keep in mind that this man that we're talking about, who had these deep and rich and loving friendships, is the incarnate Word of God. God coming to us in Jesus and through Jesus, precisely to befriend each one of us just like that. Now, this true event, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, this true event in the life of Jesus also serves as a parable for us about Jesus' friendship. Now, think about the setting of the story. There's a dark cloud of danger hovering over this episode. When Jesus says, "Let's go to Judea," one of his disciples says, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" And when they see that Jesus is determined, Thomas says, "Let us go and die with him." So there's this dark cloud of danger over this episode. Not to mention the dark cloud of grief over the death of a beloved family member in Bethany. So this is not a scene with sunshine and flowers. But the message of the parable is that even in situations of challenge and fear and anguish, the friendship of Jesus brings life and joy. Think about the words that he said to Martha. He said, "Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Now, we must remember that our word "believe" is related to the obsolete verb "beloved," found now only in the passive form "beloved." And that brings out the biblical understanding of the word "believe," which is not an act of cognition or intellection, but to believe is an act of commitment and personal engagement and love. In a word, deep friendship. So understanding that, let's hear again with those ears what Jesus said to Martha. "Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Here in these important words of Jesus to Martha, we have what theologians call a realized eschatology. That is something that speaks about eternal life, but eternal life that begins now. And the "now" in those words is what I just said. That even in situations of fear and challenge and anguish, the friendship of Jesus brings life and joy. "Anyone who believes in me, even though that person dies, will live. Do you know, so many people come to me sometimes to tell me, you know, to seek counsel. And sometimes people come to me who have all these, their life is just a horrible mess. They have all these terrible problems. And then I find out they don't even go to church. And I wish that they could open themselves to the friendship of Christ, who would help them carry those burdens, and they wouldn't have to carry them alone. So that is the now of this, these words of Jesus, this eternal life that begins now. But it's in the strength of that friendship with Jesus, whom we have committed ourselves to and given our entire lives over, it's in the strength of that friendship that we shall rise one day from our graves. When Jesus returns at the end of history and says, like he did to Mary Magdalene in the garden tomb, when he will call his beloved friends by name, because he knows them and they know him. So if we find ourselves right now in our life perhaps detached from the person of Jesus, not attached enough to the God who comes to us in Jesus to be our friend, let's seize the opportunity of the times that are coming upon us soon. When Holy Week happens, beginning with Passion Sunday next week, let's come to the Easter Triduum and with all of our hearts, so we can come to know and love better our divine friend. Amen.